I have a nephew. His name is Trevor. He is a kindergartner, and he lives in Phoenix, Arizona with my brother and his wife and their family. And ever since January 1st, actually even before Christmas, Trevor's been having sore throats. And he's been getting really, really sick. And actually, he had some sort of infection go into his knees, and if it didn't get better, they're going to have to drain his knees. He's been in pretty bad shape. But they've determined that the kid has tonsillitis all the time. And so, what are they going to do? They're going to give him a tonsillectomy. That's right. So this week, my little nephew, Trevor, is having a tonsillectomy. And my heart goes out to him because I once had a tonsillectomy, except I wasn't a little five-year-old kid. I was a junior in high school, and I was having so many cases of tonsillitis, they had to reschedule the surgery three times. Finally, they said, listen, we got to get these things out of here. I don't care if you've got infection or not. We're just going to get them out of there. It was the most painful thing I have ever gone through in my whole entire life. I don't ever want to go through that again. It's like having strep throat on steroids. I mean, it is really, really, really painful when you're a junior in high school. I was out like for 10 years. I mean, it was a long time. But my little nephew, you know, when you're a little kid, you can have things done to you. I mean, he probably in 2 days will be out playing baseball, okay? I know that that's probably the case. But I still worry about him. But did you know that tonsils, I did some research on tonsils because I was curious about this. Did you know that there are actually three different types of tonsils? So I heard someone say yes. There must be a nurse there somewhere. There's the adenoids, and the epithelium of the adenoids is the ciliated pseudostratified columnar epithelium. Did you know that? And it is incompletely encapsulated. Dr. Hickey's like, what? Of course. Everybody knows that. You've got the palatine tonsils. They're non-keratinized stratified squamous epithelium. I bet you didn't know that. They're located on the sides of the pharynx between the glossopalatine and the pharyngopalatine arches. I'm serious about this. This is where it comes from. There's the lingual tonsils. They're completely encapsulated, and they're behind the terminal sulcus. Which, by the way, for those of you that don't know what the terminal sulcus is, that's your tongue, okay? They always have to give you these fancy words. Now, they've got a picture of a tonsil, and I thought I was going to put that up on the screen, but it is pretty disgusting. So, you don't want to see this. But they have two tonsils that have been surgically removed sitting on a piece of cloth, and they're disgusting. Now, you're probably wondering, what in the world does tonsils have to do with anything, intergenerational collaboration? I think sometimes people feel like there's parts of the body that are completely useless. Now, if you are a molecular, one of these evolutionary biologists, especially growing up in the 20s and the 30s, people thought that the tonsils were completely useless in your life. That they had no use, that tonsils were probably some part of a dorsal fin from some previous creature that you evolved into, okay? Now, but if you don't believe that, you might believe that God created us and that he created the tonsils for a purpose. And sure enough, they're finding out that tonsils have a great purpose in fighting diseases. And the ones that we pull out of our mouth when we're little kids have a great value in fighting disease when you're a little kid. But yet, still, I think sometimes people in the body of Christ feel like, well, I'm just the tonsil. I don't really have any use. I'm just kind of sitting there being all cranky all the time. And maybe someday somebody's going to come and excise me out of the body of Christ. Or maybe somebody says, I'm the little toe. Now you're saying, you probably could live without your little toe, right? Well, studies have shown that you can't live without your little toe. I mean, you can live without it, but it does affect your balance. It takes a long time to recover from that. Most people will lose some balance because they're just missing their little toe. As a matter of fact, I read yesterday about the little toe. They're doing a study in the United Kingdom where they're going to actually take people, and for 3,200 pounds, they're going to allow them to take off the little toe. They're going to freeze it. Those people are going to do a study about what happens when your little toe is gone, and then after the study, they're going to reattach the toe. So if any of you are hit by the economy, you can fly over to London, you can experiment, 3,200 pounds. I don't know how much that's like, $5,000, $6,000, quite a bit of money. There are times when we feel like we're the little toe or we're the little tonsil. And sometimes we in the congregation look at other people and say, well, why is that person the body of Christ? What can they do? And sometimes we look at ourselves and we say, what can I do in the body of Christ? But Paul talks about this in our scripture lesson this morning, and it does tie in with our core value. Today we're talking about the core value of intergenerational cooperation. Intergenerational cooperation. But in order to kind of understand what that means, I wanted to go to Paul and St. Paul in his letter, the first letter to the Corinthians, because earlier in chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, Paul's talking about how we all have spiritual gifts. And actually, we preached on this last December when we did our little spiritual gift stuff. We preached on this passage about how each and every one of us has a spiritual gift. God has gifted you. You have things that you can do for the body of Christ, and God loves you and has given you these gifts, and you can use them. And the greatest joy that you can have as a Christian is to be able to use these gifts. But then Paul goes right into chapter 12, verse 12, because what happens in the body of Christ is you end up with two errors. And Paul talks about these two errors, and I want to go through them with you. The first one is with chapter 12, verse 12, beginning of verse 12, is this. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all parts are many, they form one body. And so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by the Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Okay, so he's just reiterating what he said. We are all one body. We're in it together. It's not just me, it is all of us. We're in it together, the church, triumphant. But there's a problem. And it's this, chapter 12, verse 14. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. If, speaking of eyes, if any of you want to lend some, it's starting to get harder to read this little print. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged all the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Folks, not everybody's an eye. Not everybody's an ear. Not everybody's a tonsil. Not everybody's a little toe. Each of us has been given a part of the body. And it is wrong for us to say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body. Or not because I'm not an ear, I'm not a part of the body. What is he saying here is that it is wrong to envy the gifts of other people. And yet, because we are sinful creatures, that is what we do. We envy the gifts of other people. We look at what others have and we say, why can't I have that gift? Why did God make me a tonsil? Why did God make me a little toe? You know, I want to be an eye. And God made me an ear. God made you an ear to be the ear. And God made you the eye to be the eye. And folks, you are not judged by what body part you are. But you're judged by what part of the body you're in. And if he gives you an eye or an ear, that is your gift that he's given you, and you are not to envy other people. But Paul goes on. He says, now this is beginning of verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. So the other sin is that we don't necessarily always envy what parts everybody else has, but we say to ourselves, what can I do in the body of Christ? What good am I? I'm just a lowly person. This is all I can do. what good am I? And you know, in the business world, we see this also. In the business world, which I know most of you are in, you've got like the CEO, and then you've got the regional managers, and then you've got the vice presidents or the vice presidents, the regional managers, and the on-site managers, and then you've got the project managers, and then you got the poor working stiffs that do all the work, and then you've got the people that support them, and you've got all this stratification. And in your work, you are judged and valued by which part of the body you are. And yet God values everybody, no matter what part of the body you are. I remember when I was in high school, we used to go down and visit a place called La Casa de Los Angeles, the House of the Angels. And it was for people who were severely handicapped and had been born with severe birth defects. And we would go and we would minister to those people. And you'd say to yourself, well, what good are they in the body of Christ? I mean, they're like the toenail, or they're like the tonsil. I mean, why even have those people around? And yet, when I was a part of that, there was love, there was compassion, there was growing in my own body on seeing the suffering that goes on in this earth. I don't know why God created that, but I do know that they are part of the body. They are just as important a part of the body as anybody else. They are no different than anyone else. They are life that God values. Today we're talking in part four of our sermon series on our core values. And our sermon series today is the core value. It's the fourth core value. And it's a big word. It's intergenerational collaboration. Intergenerational collaboration. And those are two different things, but they tie together. When we met last summer and we said, what is one of the things that we see us being as a church body? We realized right away that we had become very intergenerational. Now, there are a lot of churches out there that target a specific age group. And as a matter of fact, some of them target them and do very well. There's a church in California called Mosaic, and they decided to actually target and create a church of just 20-somethings. And so they did that. All the 20-somethings came to their church. It was a very successful church, but pretty soon the 20-somethings became 30-somethings, and then they started having kids and 40-somethings, and then there was little kids of 20-somethings, and pretty soon they didn't know how to assimilate all these different age groups because their primary mission was just to go to that age group. But when we looked around at what we had, particularly when we first started out, we had people from very tiny to very old. Very tiny, very young to very old. And we realized that there was a huge value in having that interrelationship between all the different age groups. That people who are young could provide so much joy and happiness and other gifts to the body, to people who are old. And people who are old have wisdom and strength and courage and stamina, and they have so much to share in this world. And as we looked about our body of Christ here at this congregation, we realized that we wanted to be intergenerational, that we were intergenerational, and we wanted to remain intergenerational. But it's not just enough to say that we're going to have every generation, because actually most churches end up doing that. Eventually, you get people of all generations. And churches naturally do that. They will try to create programs that are generational in nature. And we have a youth program, and we have a young adults program, we have a children's program, we have all these different programs that deal with different age groups. But we want to intentionally be that collaborative effort. We want the age groups at some point to come and talk to each other and to be family to each other and to minister to each other. So it's not just age group ministering to age group. And so that is our core value. And we can hold on to that core value with our theology because we believe that people of all ages can be part of the body of Christ. And we hold that to be special and that to be dear. And as part of this congregation, we want to be intergenerational. As a matter of fact, today is the fourth Sunday of the month, and we have reserved the fourth Sunday of the month. First Sunday, we do Bible study. The second Sunday is the brunch. But the fourth Sunday of the month, we've reserved that to be an intergenerational day. And at some point, we will be having intergenerational activities at the fourth Sunday of the month that we can do as a group, where we can enjoy each other's company and see each other's company. You know, Jesus Christ does not look at your age. He does not look at how intelligent you are. He doesn't look at any outward appearance that you have. What Jesus Christ looks at is not whether or not you're an eye, or whether or not you're an ear, or whether or not you're a toe, or whether or not you're a tonsil. Jesus Christ doesn't judge you by those things. What he judges you by is your faith. The faith that was given to you by him. And that faith is the faith that he gave you when he died on the cross for you. And everybody in this congregation, from young to old alike, have that faith because of the work that Jesus Christ has done for you. You might be an ear, you might be an eye, you might be a lowly tonsil. And sometimes I feel like a lowly tonsil. And if you've seen the picture of the lowly tonsil, you would probably throw up, actually. They're pretty disgusting. But God loves each and every one of us, from young to the old. Today is actually the end of the month, the last Sunday of the month. And believe it or not, January is a month called Sanctity of Human Life Month. Because there are people out there that do believe that some people have more value and some people have less value in the face of God. But we know as Christians that all human life has value to God. And that's actually been celebrated this whole month. And it's an intergenerational thing. Young life, old life, medium life, rich life, poor life, all life has value to God, and he loves them. But since today is the end of Sanctity of Life Month, Sanctity of Human Life Month, Rich has actually put together a video from a guy named Dennis Jernigan, and it talks about the sanctity of all human life, and so we're going to show that video. Some people say that children are the church of tomorrow. Some people say that people who are really old are the church of yesterday. I'm telling you today that they are all part of the church today. Young, old, no matter where you come from, no matter what part of the body. And that's our core value, because they've been redeemed by Jesus Christ, who loves you. In his name, amen. At this point,